I'm glad you put on that blush, Ellen.
You know what? The only people that know the hardships that I have in my life are you and the backstage cunts.
Yeah.
The blush is now all the way down my chin.
Yeah.
This looks like a drunk toddler did my blush. Do you see how much acreage it covers?
Yeah. You know what you just did is you just made it look like you have rosacea. That's all.
Welcome to Shut the Fuck Up, Nick Lachey.
I watched the whole process. I will attest. You put a little dot.
Okay, ready? Hashtag not an ad. The e.l.f. So I love dupes for expensive stuff.
Yeah.
This is a dupe for Rare Beauty.
I love e.l.f. in general, and they're cruelty-free, and I use all their face wash stuff.
So amazing. These little pigmented blush. It's called Camo Liquid Blush. And Daisy watched. I put a single dot on my face.
Yeah.
And I now look like I was just in Palm Springs with no sunscreen, just on one little part of my cheek.
Yeah, no, it looks like you need the Queer Eye guys to come in and give you a makeover. They'd be like, girl, what is happening with the redness on your face? And then you could be like, that's ableist. I have rosacea.
I like to victimize myself anytime I possibly can. So,
me too.
I mean, I can't hear in one ear. Everyone makes fun of me.
Yeah.
Welcome, everyone. I promise this is not what we do for real. Welcome to Shut the Fuck Up, Nick Lachey, the Love is Blind recap podcast that Daisy Egan and I bring you once a week. Welcome. Are you new here? Hi. How is it going? Welcome to the show of shit.
If you're new here, I would recommend maybe going back and starting not at the weddings of season two.
We're at the reunion. Did you note the reunion?
Oh, no, I noted the weddings again. Yes, the reunion.
Yeah. To do that episode again. We are all the way through season two. So if you are new here, we got season five, season six on our general feed for free. And if you are listening to this and you are a small business owner, Grabbag Collab had the amazing idea to not go through corporate sponsorships, but to see what small businesses would like to advertise on our general feed. Do you have a small business? Do you work from home? Do you have an Etsy page?
Ellen, that's very generous. It was actually your idea.
I know, but I didn't want to say that.
Aw, so humble.
No, I think it's really awesome because we were trying to think of ways to put it out there.
Yeah.
And I think it kind of like goes along with your mission. I mean, at some point you might have to, you know, sell your soul to the Walmart devil. Who knows?
Never do that.
But I just think it's really awesome. So reach out to Grabbag Collab in any way or email Harris because Harris takes care of everything for everyone. Harris is basically the assigned fairy godmother of all of our friends' podcasts. What did she do wrong in her life?
I don't know. That poor woman. She will reap the rewards in heaven when Jesus comes and takes her to his heavenly kingdom.
I stopped listening to you 30 seconds ago. Daisy, we're at the reunion.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to note this 10 times because there were so many things I wanted to talk about.
Yeah.
And I was like, I feel like I missed stuff because I got so invested in other stuff.
Yeah.
So I might want to record this again this weekend. I don't know. But are you ready?
Okay. Yeah, I'm ready. Let's jump in, man.
Let's do the season two reunion.
I am Vanessa Lachey.
And I'm Nick Lachey.
All right, season two of this experiment certainly was one wild ride.
That's right. Six couples fell in love and got engaged sight unseen in the pods. Five couples ended up at the altar, and two said, I do.
And it proved yet again that love really is blind. Yes.
Listen, the biggest shocker, I'm just going to say it up front, is Ayana's braids. A whole new look.
Yeah, it's a lot of hair. It's a lot of braids. What do you think? She's so beautiful, but I'm actually very partial to the pixie.
I am too.
So few people can pull off a pixie.
I know.
It's basically you,
mm-hmm.
Michelle Williams,
Charlize Theron,
and Ayana. That's it. Those are the only people that are allowed a pixie.
So I think it's a lot of hair for such a wee lady.
Yeah, that's a great point. How long have you had a pixie? I remember the hair has slowly gotten shorter over the years. I remember when you had long hair. How long have you had your pixie?
My hair has never been much longer than my collarbone at the longest.
Yeah, I think that's when I've seen it. Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't grow very well beyond that. Plus, I hate having it on my neck.
Neither does your body. So that's interesting.
No, it's true.
Yeah.
Or my patience for other people also.
Look at that.
You know?
That's adorable. Welcome, everyone. You are safe here. Vanessa Lachey is wearing what can only be described as a sequin tablecloth that she has fashioned into a dress.
Mm-hmm. She cut a hole at one point. It's like a poncho.
Yeah.
Maybe she put some safety pins around the wrists.
It looks So cheap.
Yeah.
I love cheap clothes. Like, I love to find a deal. I love a cheap thing. I love pairing a cheap thing with an expensive thing that looks awful. I don't know who her stylist is or what she did to upset them.
Yeah.
Or she needs new gaze.
I think she probably needs new gaze. And whoever it is probably like, let's be avant-garde, but it's not avant-garde.
It's not avant-garde. And then your husband is sitting next to you who couldn't possibly put on anything other than jeans and a Hollister sweater.
Also, maybe a little too much self-tanner. Like, someone needs to ask him to put the bottle of self-tanner down. It's a little much now, Nick.
And they take this time to tell us what happened on the season. And I want to be like, guys.
Come on.
We're all here.
Yeah.
We've all been here. Could you imagine, like, if someone just happened on the show and was like, let me start at the end.
What is this? Who are these people? Why does anybody care at all what they're saying?
Yeah. At this point, we don't need a recap.
No.
Vanessa and Nick, we want more dishing, more shit talking, and less recapping. Also, leave the recapping to us.
Leave it to us. We're the professionals. You're just a couple of clowns.
We're professional recappers. That's what it says on our business cards.
Yeah.
We have business cards.
We do.
Well, we get a pan of the couch.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone is pissed or drunk.
Everybody is unhappy to be there. The two couples who said I do are in matching coordinated outfits. Ayana and Jerititi are wearing red.
Can we just like do a little role play here and just like be Danielle telling Nick that they're going to match for the reunion? Who do you want to be?
I'll be Danielle.
Okay.
Hey, so I think for the reunion, don't look at me like that, please.
Oh, sorry.
Can you look at me a different way? Because when you look at me like that, it makes me think of this other time that somebody else looked at me like that.
Okay. Oh, you were talking about the reunion, honey. Don't get sidetracked. What about the reunion?
Okay, so now when you tell me not to get sidetracked, it makes me get sidetracked and it makes me very uncomfortable. So just...
Do you want to play Rock Band for a couple minutes and calm down? What do you need from me?
Yes. I'm going to go play Rock Band in my hot dog costume.
Okay.
But let me just say, I want us to wear matching outfits. I want you to wear a blue tuxedo thing and I'm going to wear a blue dress.
I was going to wear green because green is nicest with my eyes. I thought you would wear what you feel good in and I would wear what I feel good in.
So you don't love me is what you just said. Those are the words you just said. The words that literally just came out of your mouth are, I hate you. You're hideous. Blue is disgusting on you because you used to be fat and I hate you. And I want you to die.
Yeah.
I can't believe you just said that to me. I can't believe you just said that. I can't do this.
Do you want to do like cerulean, honey?
What even is that? Don't say that to me.
Ad scene. That was great.
Thank you.
Yeah, we're going to send that one to producers. Mallory is here and her Grand Tetons are hanging out, but there is also a safety pin holding this otherwise beautiful dress together.
Mallory's dress? I didn't think Mallory's dress was beautiful. I thought it was cheap looking and horrible.
Okay, I was trying to be nice. But there's a safety pin, and we've all been there. We've all needed an emergency safety pin to keep the Tetons in. But ma'am, you are on Netflix. Like, use tape. The safety pin, it looks like you snapped your strap at the Phi Beta Kappa mixer party, and you just borrowed Stacey's. Stacey always has a safety pin, by the way. And you borrowed Stacey's safety pin. It's a mess. Also, she's wearing like the heart of the ocean. What is that cheesy necklace?
It looks like she went shopping at one of those like $5 and under stores.
Totally.
Yeah. It's not a good look. Vanessa asks if anyone is nervous, and Shake says he's nervous how he's going to get edited.
Right.
Because what they did, obviously, was they took the one time he said he didn't want to fuck Deep D, and they just replayed it in every scene to make it look like he said that a lot of times. They just edited it to make it look like he was always saying he didn't want to fuck Deep D. Shane is basically like, really, man? Like, right out of the gate, you went right into victim mode. And Shake's like, I'm not a victim, baby.
We're going to learn real quick that the entire cast hates Shake just as much as the internet does.
Yes.
Everyone on this stage is over him. They know him personally.
Yeah.
They've seen the backstage stuff.
Yep.
Natalie looks like she's about to rip his actual face off.
Yeah.
Deep D looks like she hasn't inhaled oxygen for 3.5 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
The minute he opened his mouth.
Oh, everybody. Everybody was like rolling their eyes, putting their head in their hands, laughing, like scoffing at him. Yeah, nobody has a half a second for Shake, and for good reason.
Yeah.
Deep D's like, yeah, if you're going to make statements like that, you're opening yourself up to ridicule. So anyway, we start off for real with Natalie, Shane, and the Shayna love triangle. And Vanessa asks Shayna if it was hard to hear Natalie bragging about her connection with Shane. She wasn't bragging about her connection. She just was saying that he asked her to be his girlfriend and she was happy.
Vanessa is really pointed in this whole line of questioning to Shayna.
Yes.
Which I'm not mad at, but I feel like I should point it out. It was like, yes. How did that feel to hear? Like, they had such a deep connection. And you just kind of looked stupid and you look like a monster and Shane didn't want you and he wanted Natalie. So how did you feel? Put it into words what it feels like. I was like, Vanessa! Shayna said she wanted to be respectful to their relationship.
Girl.
Ma'am.
Come on.
Ma'am, we all have television.
We were there.
We all have the internet.
We saw it.
We watched it. And then meanwhile, Shane is on the couch. Now, let me paint a picture in case you're not watching this along with us. He is going through a whole Martin Scorsese film.
Yes.
On his face. Like,
yeah.
He is going through the highs and the lows.
Yeah.
Right in front of us.
Yeah.
There's two shows. There's Shane's face and there's this fucking show.
He's also, of course, wearing a suit that is two sizes too small, which is remarkable because the amount of squirming this man is doing, I don't know how he doesn't bust out of the suit. Shane is like, I mean, it was awkward, but like I was into Kyle. No, you weren't. And I guess I should have been like more forthright about my feelings. And that's my biggest regret. But like they found each other and it happened how it was supposed to happen. Well, yeah, but that was despite you're trying to throw a wrench into it, you squinty-eyed twat head.
Yeah, she's lying. Her pants are quite literally on fire. Everything she says, I just wanted to say, like, just because you say it doesn't make it true. No, you weren't into Kyle. We watched your actual face change into another face the minute you saw him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why are we pretending?
Well, and even before she saw, like, we saw the vomit face she was making as he proposed to her, and then she said yes. There wasn't a minute that she was into him.
Here's my bottom line when I'm judging these people. Not only have I been given the right by God to judge them, but also, like, I don't think love is blind.
No.
So I wouldn't go on this show.
Right.
I'm not mad at anyone who is not attracted to their partner. I'm not mad at them.
Yeah.
That is an actual fact of life. It's how you deal with it and the lies you continue to just lay at our feet like we are some dodo birds.
Yeah.
Like, I am not a dodo bird.
Shayna seems to think that everybody's a dodo bird. Like, she treats everyone like they're just not that smart when she's actually the one who is a dumb dumb.
She treats people like we don't all have Netflix subscriptions.
Yeah.
I don't. I use my mom's.
Yeah.
But all of you people, you should be using your mom's too. Not you. Your mom is dead.
My mom's dead, Ellen. Thanks so much for bringing it up.
Yeah.
Anything else?
I could conjure something. Wasn't Joe Mantello awful to you once?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I could talk about that. No? Okay.
That's on him, man.
Vanessa is basically like, Shane, tell us about that epic fuck up when you thought Natalie was Shayna. Talk about that. Tell us about it.
Shane is twitching. His eyes are bulging out of his head. He's like,
Shane looks like at all times he's trying to prevent himself from turning into a werewolf. Like, he's working so he's like, no, no, must not turn. He's working overtime.
Oh my God. He says that it was easily the biggest mistake he made on the show. I mean, maybe until the night before your wedding. He regrets it. He says, listen, we're talking to each other through tiny microphones. I don't know how true that is. I think there's a lot of speakers in that room. Basically, he's ashamed that he went into attack mode and he's embarrassed that he gaslighted her. He's embarrassed that he victimized himself.
I think it's weird that he regrets that and not any of the capri pants. Not a single apology for all the capri pants we had to look at this season.
Then the crop tops.
Yeah.
A couple of the other men at least say that they also made the same mistake. We just didn't happen to see it on camera.
Right.
So.
Also, by the way, he is wearing pants that come to his mid-calf and he's not even mentioning it.
He is wearing a clam digger suit.
Then Vanessa basically asks the other question that we've always talked about. She essentially says, Shane, we noticed that you had a very different rapport with Natalie than you did with Shayna. With Natalie, you talked about deep things, and with Shayna, you just talked about crop tops. Make sense of that. Which, honestly, we noticed that, but like, different people bring out different sides of you. Like, I'm not mad about it. I don't think he's fake.
No.
When I'm with you, I have to remind myself that I am a good person and that I am talented and that I am funny because you are always telling me that I'm not.
Ellen, pull it together. We're recording.
On the machine?
Ellen.
Yeah.
Pull it together.
I'm good.
Be a professional for once in your life.
No, it's good. You bring out the best in me.
Are you doing your impression of Shayna with the squinting?
It's weird to see, but I feel like we have much bigger conversations to be had other than the way that he flirted with two different women.
Bigger fish need to be fried, for sure. So this is the first instance of Shake butting his big fat fucking head in. Shake says, can I interrupt? And everybody just sighs and rolls their eyes for
Jesus. Nobody wants to hear from this man. There is so much more to this story.
Yes.
About how much and why they hate him. Nobody is listening to him. They're all making side comments.
Somebody said, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So Shake says, this show's about finding a wife. No, it's about finding love. And Shane is doing his best Gary Busey impression that he could possibly make. And somebody says, yeah, as long as she can get on your shoulders.
There were so many comments. Shayna, to be fair, is just listening because I think she just is worried about her eyes. If there's an optometrist watching, can someone reach out to Shayna? Because she can't see a goddamn thing.
She's like, wait, who is that over there? Is that?
It's that.
Are you a Keebler elf? Or are you? Who are you?
You be Shake and I'll be everyone on the couch.
Okay.
Just say a statement.
Hey, can I just interrupt for a second?
Come on! Can he shut up? Why is he talking? Why is he talking? Come on, Shake! Like, I'm here for it, but nobody even lets this man open his mouth. To be fair, he keeps interrupting.
He keeps interrupting. It's not his fucking business. And what he keeps saying is, like, gross and disgusting. So someone's like, yeah, as long as she can get on your shoulders. Deep D says, as long as they're a size zero. And Shake says, yeah, I'd like that. I stand by that. Shut the fuck up, man.
Shut the fuck up. This reunion should have been called the dissection of Shake and the ultimate double down, because this man, he's going to double down on everything that he said.
And I don't understand how you can be like, it was the editing, and then behave that way.
Yeah. So then show us the other side of the edit that we didn't see, where you're actually like, you know, I do prefer something like this. Or show us the edit where you were honest with Deep D instead of calling her your auntie behind. Show us the footage.
Yeah.
Give us our cuties moment.
Right. So Shake, he's going on and on about how the show is not about rushing into something and skipping steps. Yes, it is. That's literally what the fucking show is. And Ayana says that. Ayana's like, Shake, that's literally the point of the show. And Natalie goes, did you read the description of the show? And then Deep D quietly says, just let him talk. He's making himself look terrible. And Shayna, too, is like, let him dig his own hole. Nobody wants to hear what this fucknut has to say.
Well, now we see the scene where Shane has already asked Natalie to be his girlfriend.
Yeah.
And Shayna comes back and professes the love. It's the moment that Shayna is like, let me tell him everything that I didn't say before. Shane can't even look the flashback. He can't even look at the screen.
His head is in his hands. He's completely slumped over. My husband looked up at the screen and goes, did he just fall asleep?
Yeah. Remember the time where he grunted for 10 minutes straight like a goddamn barnyard animal?
Yes.
He's like, oh, why didn't you tell me you were considering this? I've already asked Natalie.
My pants are so tight.
This is very confusing because I thought women like capri pants. Natalie is watching this package and she is so upset.
Sad.
She is viscerally going through something, watching this footage that she knew happened, but they for sure watered it down. And seeing it live and in person and on your flat screen, totally different range of emotions.
They ask Natalie how she felt looking back on this for the first time. And she was like, I felt betrayed by Shane and Shayna. The only person who does not look uncomfortable on this stage right now is Shake, who is just happy that nobody's looking at him in this moment.
I'll have what he's having. I don't know how he gets out of bed and puts his face on social media, but here we are.
Natalie is like, hearing that if Shayna had professed her feelings 2 days earlier, things would have gone differently was different from what she was led to believe at the time.
Because, yeah, they both told a very watered down story, and Shayna kind of gives an I'm sorry you feel that way kind of apology.
Uh-huh.
It's not a real apology. I don't know.
Vanessa asks if she was surprised about how torn Shane was between the two of them. And Natalie was like, yeah, I was not aware of the extent of this relationship. Yeah. And then Shane says he blacked out when it happened and it was like getting punched in the face. And he says he's being crucified. No, you're not. You're being confronted about a thing that happened.
I can empathize with a blackout moment.
Yes.
Where you just are like, I don't remember what I was thinking or feeling. I can empathize with that for sure. But you know what happened. You know the details of what happened. You watered it down so significantly that Natalie, she is still gobsmacked. She's probably watched that scene 20 times. And she still can barely get words out.
And also, how much time did you have knowing that this reunion was coming up? You couldn't have prepared better. Like, you couldn't have prepared some kind of fucking statement to address this. All you'd be is like, Well, Shane is just like, I'm just dramatic, bro. This is all I am, man. And now Kyle jumps in and asks if they can talk about why that meeting in the pod ever happened, which is a great point. And I was wondering, did Shayna orchestrate that or did the producers orchestrate it? And why didn't anybody tell Shane that that's who he was about to go into the pods with? Like, you'd think that they'd be like, okay, now you're going in to meet with Shayna, unless they're trying to fuck with the people and get them to fuck up.
I don't think they knew what to expect.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Or what was going to happen. But they're like, let's give this a go.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like they're always kind of trying to find a way to emotionally fuck with them. So this tracks. I don't think they thought it would be as gold as it turned out to be.
So now we get subjected to Kyle's fucking proposal and Shayna's various stank faces. Shayna is completely stone-faced watching this back. Like, you cannot read this woman like there's nothing happening on her face. Kyle, not so much. But by the end of that clip, he's pissed. He was fucking pissed. So Nick asks him what his reaction to her face was when he finally watched it back versus what he thought was happening in the moment. And Kyle, this poor man, this man eats Delusionos for breakfast.
Yeah.
He says that he didn't sense her hesitation when it was happening.
Well, you don't know what we didn't see. That's the thing. When he said, I didn't realize at that time I was a backup.
Yeah.
And he basically said, they didn't show our relationship.
Yes.
They didn't show how close we got. Correct.
Yeah.
We were not in on any of the cuteness, any of the mushiness. It did seem really rushed. If it was there, great. We didn't see it.
Yeah.
And then he kind of says something that really impactful. And he basically says, you leveraged me to flip Shane to you.
Yeah.
I thought about that, but that's just a very brilliant way of putting it.
Yeah. He said that what he thought had happened was that they were just trying to tie up loose ends and not that she was telling Shane it was his last chance.
Yeah.
Shane is like, I wasn't giving it a try. It was part of my process. Learn how to process your shit without burning other people's shit down, Shayna.
Shayna is also gaslighting the fuck out of Kyle.
Yes.
She picked up that gaslighting fucking stick and she runs with it. She's like, oh, Are you speaking for me? Then she says 100% 100 times. 100%. 100%. No, it's 100%. Listen, 100%. 100%. 100%. I 100% get it. I 100% take it.
I 100% take ownership of that. I 100% do that.
100%.
But like 100%, like you also are alive.
100%.
Yeah, Shayna's like, I couldn't move forward unless I was honest with Shane. Yes, you could have. It's like that fucking scene in Love Actually when Andrew Lincoln stands there showing those horrible signs to Keira Knightley. It's like, get out. It's not your relationship. Fuck off. She's like, when I said yes, I think I felt very confused. She said I felt manipulated by him using his mom's engagement ring. Some people might call that romantic.
Yeah, if Kyle was like, I thought we were in love.
Yeah.
That's a very sweet thing to do to someone, is to give someone an heirloom. That wasn't a manipulation, bitch. He was just being in love.
So she says, I'm sorry it was led on more than it should have been. No. You led him on, period. I'm sorry I led you on should have been what that sentence was.
Yeah.
When Kyle says that he didn't realize what had happened until months later, Shake is like, oh, so you didn't know about it months ago when we talked about it. And everybody's like, shut up, man.
His supervillain power has to be interrupting people because he cannot help himself.
No.
He is jumping in on everything that has nothing to do with it. And everyone's like, why is he talking? What is he talking about?
And he's like smirking.
And Shane can't control his face. Shane is convulsing. And he actually comes down on Shake. He says,
I just can't believe the words that are coming out of his mouth right now. Honestly. I can't. It
keeps it real.
No, that's not real, man. That's just bad. It's just so bad. It's always the same. You gotta stop.
I'm a tell-all. I'm gonna just say what everyone's thinking at home.
No, 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 no.
Somebody say that. Somebody say that.
I would have done myself a big favor.
Do not put me into your words at all. Ever, ever.
No, no, you stay out of this.
Okay.
Dude, I unfollowed you because you're so unbearable. And you think everybody thinks the same way as you. And that's the problem. No one thinks the way you think.
I wouldn't go that far. I think there's like a happy medium.
No, there's really maybe like a 1%.
I have. If I may, I'll say one statement and hopefully I'll just shut up after that. Wouldn't you like that? I think we'd all like that. I think we would all like it if I just shut up after the statement, right?
I think we'd all like if you just shut up in general.
No, please just stop now.
Listen, I be honest with you guys. This has been an incredible experience, but I've had a very tough time taking it seriously.
That's not our experience in this experiment. It's still an experiment, but we all had our own experience in it. Yeah. You can't speak for everybody.
I was hoping to just for a moment say mine, and then...
I know, man, but you're interrupting a lot of people and hurting a lot of people right now when you're not even involved.
By the way, there is
story.
No right or wrong way to find love.
There's zero right or wrong way.
Jesus. If they found it and they're happy for the rest of their lives.
Absolutely.
He says, can we say off the record that the drive to continue on the show was a driving factor for Shayna and Kyle? And this is where everybody just starts sort of yelling at him. He keeps it real, bro. He's like, I'm just saying what everyone else at home is thinking. And to be fair, you and I did say that a few times. Like, they must just be trying to stay on this show at this point. Like,
absolutely. But we have a recap podcast that six people listen to and two of them are us. You are on a national TV show. Then what were you doing it for, dude? To find love? No, like, it's just time and place. Read the room.
Yeah.
Yes, that is what the internet is for.
Right.
Nobody gave you the truth stick.
Mm-mm.
Nobody said, please tell us everything that you feel about every person at every moment, because guess what? You were probably there for a little bit of notoriety too.
Absolutely. So now we move on to Ayana and Jerry TTTT. They ask Ayana what it was like to watch back the Jerry TT and Mallory shit show. And she's like, it was awkward and re-traumatizing. And then Jerry TTT tries to talk his way out of this trap, saying you have to be honest and vulnerable in the process. And I reassured Ayana that nothing would ever happen between me and Mallory and that she was never the runner-up.
Great. Roll tape, please. Let's watch that fucking inappropriate and awkward scene for the sixth time.
I'm such a guy's girl.
Hence why the fuck we connected.
But most men that are into sports and things like that, or like that connect me on that aspect, they don't put me priority. They don't know how to fucking be like, hey, you're a bad bitch. Like, let me just, like, you're beautiful. You're like, let me do things for you. Let me, like, you're gorgeous. Like, I don't even need that.
I knew that.
But, like, once in a fucking while.
I would have
did
that.
Listen, Jer Bear.
Mau Mau. That's a nice ring. That's not the ring you wanted. You wanted gold. You wanted gold.
She's so funny.
You don't like that ring. I know you don't. You like gold rings, don't you? That's what I would do
right.
You know how I know? Because I asked.
Every time we watch it, and they do love to replay it, it never gets easier. It is more and more awkward and hurtful. The more I watch it, because now I feel, you know, we've gone through this journey with Ayana, the more disrespectful it is.
Oh, it's bad. And Mallory, in her defense, looks really embarrassed watching it back. Like, really,
she should.
Really. Yeah. Sal is angrier than we have ever seen him on the show. He is fucking, like, steam is coming out of his ears. Vanessa asks Ayana again what it's like watching that back, and she says something that I think every woman needs to hear. And she says, I'm not mad at Mallory because she's not the one that made the promise to me. I'm mad at Jerry TTTT because he's the one who made the promise to me. I think up until very recently, there was this narrative getting pushed everywhere that, like, when a man cheated on his wife, she would then go catfight with the woman. I mean, yeah, it's a shitty thing to do, but she's not the one that made the vow.
She doesn't owe you anything.
No.
I mean, it's good to be a good person.
We owe each other kindness and humility. humanity.
Right. Not on this show because it's different, but out of context, when I was cheated on, I also had to remind myself, I don't know what he told her.
Yeah.
Who knows? He could have been like, we're broken up.
Yeah.
You know, she's this, she's that. We don't know. It's different here.
Yeah.
But in life, you also have to say, because you think, oh my God, how could a woman do that to another woman or a man do that to another
man?
You
never know.
But you just, you don't know. You don't know what was on the other side. Mallory, however, no, 0 out of 10 stars. It was out of pocket no matter which way you slice it.
Yeah.
It was inappropriate. It shouldn't have happened. And Jared apologizes for the conversation, but I don't like what he said back to Sal when Sal aired his grievances. He was very concise. He was like, it was disrespectful.
Yeah.
And Jared says, I'll be a man and apologize.
You're just being a human. Come on.
Thank you. You don't have to be a man or a woman. You just have to be accountable.
Yeah.
When someone says, I'll be a man, dot, dot, dot. Flames on the side of my face. Burning.
Hot heat. Heaving.
Breathless.
But he also says that he should have tailored it in a different way. And I'm like, dude, you're just trying to sound smart. Nobody says I should have tailored that conversation in a different way. Just say, I shouldn't have fucking done that. It was shitty. It was a bad look. And then he says that I've apologized to Ayanna for making her look crazy. You didn't make Ayanna look crazy.
None of us
thought. Nobody once. You made yourself look like a fuckboy and an asshole, but Ayanna came off fine.
Well, then Mallory says,
that was a very, very hard situation to be in and conversation.
Did you mean watching it was hard?
Yeah.
Because yes, it was very hard to watch. It wasn't hard on your end to be in that conversation because, see, I love that we can turn this into a teaching moment.
Mm-hmm.
When you are having a conversation, we all have the ability to stop at any time.
Yeah.
And that is crazy.
I know. We could just be like, hey, I'm going to walk away from this and go back to my fiance. Yeah, she said that after the emotional ass interaction in the pods, seeing each other for the first time, she was nervous and she had too much to drink. She apologizes to Ayanna for letting the conversation go on as long as it did. It shouldn't have gone on at all. And Sal basically says, like, to have that conversation on what was essentially our honeymoon was, like, so incredibly inappropriate. And it showed that she had no investment in their relationship. And she's like, I was fully invested in my choice and my decision. No, you weren't. No, you weren't.
And I think Sal is angrier now because he's watching it back. He watched it back and saw everything from an outside perspective. Mm-hmm. So I think that's why we're kind of getting angry Sal right now.
Yeah. And he's justified. So again, Jared TTT says this thing about tailoring a different... Shut the fuck up. So Sal says that he and Mallory gave it an honest shot. I mean, he did, but I don't think really she did. So then Nick roasts Sal by saying that once the couples got back into the real world, some of them crashed harder than Sal trying to carry Mallory into the ocean. Waka waka. So funny.
So funny. The writing is honestly superb. It goes The Office, Schitt's Creek.
Yeah.
Love is Blind.
Oh, you think The Office is better than Schitt's Creek?
I've never watched Schitt's Creek. I just know it's funny. I mean, I've seen episodes and scenes and stuff. It is brilliant.
Schitt's Creek is great. Watching The Office now is cringy because there's a lot of shit about it that you're just like, ooh.
Whenever I say The Office, I mean the British one.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah, I'm an Anglophile.
That's sexy. So now we check in with Nick and Danielle. They say they're still blissful. Was it ever blissful?
Well, the problems that they had on the show were the show problems.
Oh.
That's not how it is in their life. Their life is actually great. It's perfect and great and good and fine.
Right.
So that was the show.
Right.
And then everything is good and great and good.
Yeah. Danielle does say that after the pressure of having to say I do in such a short timeline, that was what caused all the fights.
Obviously.
But now that they're married, there's no fights.
It's good.
And then Vanessa takes credit for it, saying like, yeah, our experiment kept you guys together.
Mm-hmm.
But we also learned that they've been in couples therapy together, and he's learned that he doesn't always have to fix. This is a big thing with men. Like, it's a big complaint that women have with men, which is like, I need to tell you some problems and I just need you to hear them. I don't need you to give me some condescending solution. Whether or not you think it's condescending, that's how it's going to come across, and I just need you to hear me.
I do think that is a man trope, but I can kind of do that sometimes too. too, to the point where, like, I've tried to adopt a thing where I'm like, do you want me to just listen?
Yeah.
Or are you looking to me to weigh in?
Yes.
I naturally am like, you hurt, let me make it better.
I know, same. And that's what I do now too. I'm like, do you want me to just listen or do you need some feedback? Do you want advice?
Right.
I mean, maybe that's one of Nick's issues, but that's not where their communication falls down. I think the communication falls down because she spins out and he's just trying to fucking defend himself, which is fair. So Vanessa asks if Nick's furniture is still intact, and Shane sort of jokes that they've probably been fucking on their furniture, and Danielle is like, well, yeah, we have been fucking on our furniture, but also he just has better furniture than I had, and he gets up on the tables before, and then we get a boring video of their fucking life and their pets. And
nobody cares. The Rock Band equipment is still out. Nick still hates it. Mm-hmm. Danielle's shit is everywhere. They show us their trinkets and their pictures mm-hmm. and their tchotchkes. Nobody cares!
Nobody yeah. cares. They have balloon animal sculptures.
Great.
She got a family heirloom ring, blah, blah, blah. And now we're back to Malvador. And Nick says to Sal.
Let's hear what Nick has to say. Yeah.
Now, guys, I want to move on to a couple who gave us some great music, but in the end decided to part ways. And Sal, I got to say, musician to musician, there was some truly great music that I saw throughout the show. So let's give it up for Mallory and Salvador.
Yeah, this is what he means when he says musician to musician.
Thinking you could live without me. Baby, I'm the one who put you up there. I don't know why.
Sir Nick Lachey, I am actually just speaking to Nick Lachey, so everyone else can just hit the fast forward button maybe one and a half times. You were in a band.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what you did in that band. Did you sing the harmonies? Did you sing the lead line? I have no idea.
Nobody knows.
Nobody knows. But hopefully you sang better than Sal.
Oof.
Because as I have stated on this podcast time and time again, Sal does not have a good voice.
I love Mallory. She liked my blanket one time. And she's like Beyonce because she is my fiance.
Anytime you can rhyme Beyonce with fiance, I'm down. But he is not a vocalist. Do not encourage him. And sir, I don't even know what you do. Nick, you're a lovely person.
Uh-huh.
You have the IQ of a doorstop.
Uh-huh.
You're lovely. You're unproblematic. You're a silly goose. You are not a musician. You sang in a band once.
He says that was some really great music. Yikes.
And did you notice that Sal and Mal could not be actually further from each other? They cannot physically be further. They're in different zip codes.
Yeah.
Mal is on one end of a couch and Sal is on the other. They are on opposite sides of the studio.
Sal is in East LA and Mallory's in Santa Clarita.
Yeah.
My Southern California friends will get that. So Vanessa reminds us that they talked about maybe continuing their relationship after they said, I don't, at the altar. Mallory's like, yeah, we tried, but there just wasn't enough of a connection to make it work. She wasn't into him.
That's it.
That's the whole story.
Sal's like, you know, there's things I want to say, but it's just kind of pointless. I'm sure they've said it all. What are you going to say? It's not going to change it.
Yeah, it seems like there's some tea. And Sal is just like, I'm not going to air it. I'm not going to air this shit on TV, but there's like other shit that you guys didn't see that we don't need to bring out into public.
He just basically said, you know, I felt unheard.
Yeah.
I was like, that's a very clear statement.
Uh-huh.
I get that.
She says she's sorry if she made him feel that way. And then Shake fucking pipes in again.
Nobody asks you. He literally raises his hand.
And nobody calls on him.
Please, dear God, nobody call on him.
He says again that her situation with Jerry TT was uncomfortable and Sal's ex-girlfriend shattered the vase of their relationship. Shut up.
Yeah.
For everyone's sake, but most especially for your own fucking sake, shut up.
Not Shake giving relationship advice.
Oh my God.
Please. Shake should have zoomed in. What was her name on season 6? It was like, I'm in Barcelona. Like, you should have zoomed in. Nobody wants to hear from you, Shake.
And Natalie says, like, who are you to chime in? This isn't your relationship. He's like, whatever. It's my opinion.
And then Shake tells Shane to shut up.
Yeah.
Which normally I would totally be supportive. But in this moment, I would rather hear from Shane than Shake.
Yeah. Shake is like, we're at a reunion. That's the point. And pretty much everyone's like, no, it's not the point.
Everyone is yelling at him. Jared calls him a joke. He's like, you're a joke, man.
Yeah, Jerry TT says he's just trying to break people down, and then Shake doubles down, and this is where Shane tells him to shut up, and Jerry TT calls him out and says he's been fake as fuck since the beginning, and Shake's like, I'm the realist, bro, and they sort of go back and forth, and Shake's like, I've always kept it 100, And Jerry TT says that he came on the show for the wrong reasons, and everyone can see how shallow you are. And Shake once again defends his preference for tiny little white women.
Mm-hmm.
And he tries to get the spotlight off of him by saying, well, let's get back on track. You're the one who derailed the fucking train, man.
Yeah.
Stop derailing the train.
Shake, you want to be the center of attention? Great. Let's talk about you and Deep D.
Yeah.
They play all the cringe times that he was in the pods trying to figure out what the women on the other side look like. Every time he said he didn't want to fuck Deep D because Deep D looked like his aunt. We see it all. And it's really upsetting to see right in a row like that.
Oh, God. It's really awful. But, you know, don't forget, it's all editing. Shake then defends himself by likening getting married to making a purchase. The ultimate purchase, if you will.
Yeah.
This fucking guy.
Yeah.
He says when the stakes are that high, you have to read the fine print. And he wanted to make sure it worked. And he wanted it to work out more than anything. And he says he needs to know that the woman he's purchasing, he doesn't say that, is a certain body type. He says if there's a big weight discrepancy, it's not going to work.
Everyone in this room wants to unzip themselves
yes.
and step out of their own skin.
Yes.
And walk away. Again, you are allowed to have a preference. It's not nice to air in front of your ex. And sir, we are not buying a steamer / air fryer.
Mm-mm.
We're not comparing prices and clipping coupons.
No.
I cannot stress how embarrassed I am at this moment. Like, Shake as a man, as a human, he's like a 1 out of 10.
Yeah.
And I am giving him a 1 because he's a vet, okay?
Uh-huh.
He is unapologetically digging his heels in.
Every time he talks, it gets worse.
It gets worse. And poor Shane, his coke has worn off.
He's like, hey, can I go to the bathroom? I gotta go to the bathroom. Can I go to the bathroom just for like a minute?
Yeah.
Vanessa tells him that she thinks he was on the wrong show. She's like, you need to open your heart to a bigger picture. She's like, what happens when your wife gets disfigured or loses her hair or gains some weight? She lays into him basically and says that he was berating all of the women over their physical looks. And she put Deep D through all this bullshit.
There's only one person who hates Shake more on this stage, and that is Vanessa.
Yes.
Vanessa hates him. Yeah. I mean, I can't imagine watching that season and then being like, you know what's going to make myself even more unlikable than I was originally on the show is if I go back and I double down on all my fucking bullshit. And Vanessa is riding him like a fucking show pony.
Vanessa does not want to have it. She is pissed. And he's like, you're twisting my words. And she's like, you know what? I'm pretty heated right now, so let's change the subject. And then Nick asks him why he came on the show if really all he really wanted was a conventional dating situation. And Shake says,
I want the emotional connection, everything that we know the show is supposed to do. But there's also certain criteria there that goes beyond the emotional connection.
And then Vanessa again is like, well, you came on the wrong show. And he's like, look, for me, love isn't blind. I want to only be partially blind. He says he wants it to be love is blurry.
He's like, I can't help but that the only person on this stage I'm attracted to is Vanessa.
Oh.
And the world turned upside down.
He says, all the women here are beautiful, okay? But I'm only attracted to Vanessa. And she says, I've been berating you this whole time. That's a pretty fucked up relationship. And she also says, you came on the show to meet a woman to fuck. That's the only time we've ever heard Vanessa curse. She is pissed. She fucking hates this guy.
And Ayana's basically like, you're a narcissist. Call your therapist.
Oh, that was so good.
She's like, just make an appointment.
And also, Nick says something about like, I'm glad you're not a human doctor. I'm glad you're a vet doctor. And Shake tries to imply that Nick's going to get canceled by the Veterinary Society.
Yeah, they were like, they're a huge reality TV demographic. We have meetings. We got t-shirts.
The vets, they're not going to be happy with you about that. Nobody is on your side, my friend.
The veterinarians are like, let's get them.
So then Vanessa asks everybody, what was it like to watch Deep D go through this? Because we all love Deep D and we know how wonderful she is. And Ayana says, when she says the narcissist thing, she says that you're going to continue to damage relationships. And Danielle's like, no, people. He's going to continue to damage people.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, Deep D's the most amazing person inside and out. She didn't deserve what Shake did to her. She's a queen and a goddess. And then Shake starts going, yeah, goddess, villain. These are our characters. I get it.
Everyone has an issue with him. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Like, when that many people have an issue with you, let's look in the mirror.
Yeah.
We've all done it.
Yeah.
We've all doubled down. And then you're like, oh, wait, no, actually.
That was me. I fucked
maybe
up.
It is me. We've all done that. We can all only speak from our own experiences and our own perspective.
Yeah.
And instead of taking this reality check that you know has happened before the reunion.
Yeah.
They kicked him off the group chat. You know?
Yes.
And so it's like, you know, you're an asshole.
And also, he's seen all of the internet feedback. It's like he read all the internet feedback and he was like, oh, they like it.
Right. It's just weird because it's very counterintuitive, because you would think if a whole group of people were all saying the same thing, you would think, let me reevaluate instead of blaming everybody else and then putting it on a
yeah. I mean, here's what happens. When he's saying goddess villain, Danielle and Natalie are like, you're not characters. This is Deep D as a person. And Shake's like, yeah, well, this is me as a person for you guys, for your entertainment. And then Deep D just finally says.
Yeah, I mean, I've definitely heard from the girls and Shane and Jarrett. They've all warned me that this is not a person you should marry because he's talking about you this way behind your back. I didn't know the extent of how he was talking to me or about me, but... you know, he was straightforward with me. I'm not physically attracted to you. Listen, I don't give a fuck if you're not. But if you care about somebody and you're supposedly their friend, you do not disrespect them on national fucking TV. And that is the most hurtful part. Yeah. I do not care if he's not attracted to me. Don't care.
And this is where we find out that actually he got a better edit. What we saw was apparently the watered down shit of what he said.
Mm-hmm.
And basically everyone's like, how do you not feel remorse? And Deep D's like, every single person here has a problem with you, has an issue with you. That says a lot about your character. And Shake says that's what it's turning into, unfortunately. No, no.
Yeah.
You are the conductor of your shit train.
And so we go back to Kyle and Shayna, and we kind of like revisit some of the conversation from before. She still will not admit that she just wasn't physically attracted to him. And basically, Kyle is like, so was it the religion thing? Is that real? And Shayna gives some fucking word salad, internal struggles, blah, 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 Christianity, blah, 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 my relationship with God, blah, 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 gave it a shot, blah, blah, blah. My issue with Shake is that we're about to see Shayna get off really easily for the shit that she pulled on this season.
Yeah.
I mean, all of that stuff. Remember telling Shane, oh, I have a friend for you. Gaslighting Shane when Shane came and tried to confront her about it. Shayna got away with some shit, and it's all because of our focus on Shake.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And one thing she says in this whole thing is like, it was my relationship with God and you couldn't give me that. Nobody has to give you anything. Your relationship with God is your relationship with God. You don't need somebody else for that. And we all know that it wasn't just your relationship with God. It was also her family's relationship with ATVs and doing sports and things.
Yeah, being outdoors and stuff.
So Kyle is basically like, you never should have said yes. And once again, she's like, I know, 100%, 100%. I shouldn't. So Shane is squirming in his tiny little suit. And then Kyle says that his biggest regret is that he should have asked Deep D to marry him. What?
We know that they dated after the show.
Oh, I didn't.
Oh, yeah. They full on dated after the show, Kyle and Deep D. But we didn't see any of their budding relationship in the pods.
No, I don't think we ever saw even a single date between the two of them.
If Shayna was going back and forth between Natalie and Shayna, I guess Kyle was going back and forth between Deep D and Shayna.
This was news to us.
Yeah, they dated afterwards. Now, I don't know if they were dating here. I actually think they were, because this would have been like a year out. I actually think they were dating during this.
I didn't know any of this. So he says he should have tried harder. He says he loves her so much. She's the best. He basically says to Shake, I'm so angry that you wasted this incredible opportunity. And then Shake fucking chimes in and says, oh, I'd love that for the two of you. Yeah, I'm happy to facilitate. Shut up!
Nobody cares!
Nobody cares! Oh my God, fuck off! Nobody cares what you want. Nobody cares. Nobody.
So now we go over to Teen Wolf and old soppy pants over there, Shane and Natalie. And Vanessa asks, what happened the night before the wedding? What happened the night that everything ended? And Shane is going through a range of emotions, wow, none of which I can identify, no, but they're all over the place.
He's like, it's just, everybody reaches a break point. I let's drink. It was all pressure. I wish I hadn't done it that way. I think about it every fucking day, okay? I just want to tell you.
Now, Natalie says that is the night that changed everything. She was ready to get married.
Natalie takes an incredibly long pause before she starts speaking, and the second she opens her mouth, she starts crying.
She cannot form words. Shayna still can't fucking see anything next to her on the couch, which we can see, and she can't get words out. She is so deeply emotional.
Yeah.
Now, what do you think of this? I want to know where you stand. So Shane basically makes the point of, I have been accountable. I have apologized. I have gone over that night a dozen million times in my head.
Yeah.
I can't make it make sense. It still makes me upset because she hasn't mentioned or apologized for any part of that fallout.
Yeah, he says, like, those words didn't come out of nowhere, and I haven't heard you apologize at all. And she probably needed to apologize for her part in it. Like, she did need to probably own up to, like, yeah, I negged you,
yeah,
for 4 weeks or however long this process was, and then you reached a breaking point.
Yeah, again, I understand what Shane is saying, but he's like, well, you're just saying it's 100% my fault.
Yeah,
I understand what you're saying. You're right. Saying your actions led me to be this horrible version of myself.
Right.
I have apologized for. I get that. I actually get that. He's saying it again in a really weird way.
Yeah.
But all he wants to hear is,
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. You know what I mean?
It's, yeah.
I'm not like victim blaming, but I understand. Like,
I completely do too.
I just think Shane is not good at communicating, ugh, what he's feeling.
No.
And he's operating from a very immature place.
Yeah.
But it's like, you're not going to apologize for getting me there?
I completely agree. And he's like, I just don't want to be made out to be the bad guy. And Natalie's like, there wasn't a good guy or a bad guy. And like, you were always more than enough. And he's like, that's all I needed to hear from you. He needed less finger pointing and more accountability.
We have a question in the chat, uh-huh, from Anu. If you had to choose between these two, would you rather listen to 5 minutes of Shake defend himself or 5 minutes of Sal singing with his ukulele?
I would take the ukulele.
Oh, I would take the Shake. It would give me like good comedy.
Yeah, that's fair. The ukulele would as well, but thank you for the question. Nick asks them that if reliving that fight and the whole experience, if they feel like that night really did just derail the whole thing. Nick says, up until that point, it seemed like a really, really well-oiled machine. No, it didn't.
Mm-mm.
No, it didn't. I don't know what kind of machines this guy is using, but Shane and Natalie were not a well-oiled machine. They were a machine that sometimes apparently had really great sex, but most of the time couldn't fucking communicate.
None of us saw it. We did not see that machine working. It's like the ice cream machine at McDonald's.
Honestly.
We know it's there, apparently, allegedly, but I've never seen it work.
No.
And so then Nick asks the same question 7 different ways.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, what I mean is, the question is very simple. Do either of you have any regrets?
Right.
You said yes, Shane. Natalie, you said no. That's the extent of the question. And it takes him 12 and a half minutes.
It sure does. Natalie says they gave it another shot after the wedding day. They dated without the pressure.
Well, I mean, I should hope so. Shane's got $2,000 worth of his food budget burning a fucking hole in his pocket.
Honestly. And Shane says it was too fresh. And Natalie basically admits that, like, she held on to that fight for way too long and she held it against him and they couldn't move on. Basically, everybody says they're sad about it except Shake. Everybody's sad that this didn't work out because you can see the love between them, and the other Nick says it breaks his heart. And then Vanessa brings up the Shayna tornado and Shane immediately shuts it down. She's like, well, have you two seen each other? And Shane's like, we're not going to talk about it. And Vanessa's like, no, I just wanted to know if you've seen each other before today. And he's like, yes. And he's so uncomfortable. And Shane is like, why are you reacting that way? And he cannot bring himself to look at anybody.
Mm-mm.
At anybody. He will not say a word. I don't know what the fuck he's reacting to.
We're in a fucking Charlie Chaplin movie. He is silent. He does not say anything.
Shayna tries to say that they were always just friends and there was nothing romantic. Again, we watched the fucking tapes. It's a really rough fucking few minutes of footage. Like, it's just so fucking uncomfortable. And Shane clearly needs a lot of therapy. This man has trouble talking about any feelings at all. Like, he just cannot take them in. He can't process them. He can't put them out. So now we move on to Jerry, TT, and Ayana, na-na-na-na-na-na. I'm so disappointed that she's still with him. He says that married life has been a roller coaster, but fun, and they've learned and grown. Who the fuck cares? He says he wouldn't ride the roller coaster with anyone else. And she says she has stuff she needs to work on, and it's been hard but rewarding. He says that some of the shit he was doing as a single guy started to creep back in. Again, totally fucking passive, not taking any ownership of it. And Ayana says they've been finding their balance, blah, blah, blah. They're trying to meet each other in the middle. Who the fuck cares? And then Vanessa brings up that they said they were going to wait until they got married to have sex, and we find out they did not wait, and they actually fucked in Mexico.
Honey! She's like, give me that wop, 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 wop. Do it. Good for you. Yeah. I'm happy. Nobody cares.
It sounds like they only did it that one time, which is a little strange.
No, they didn't.
Yeah.
No, that's weird. You don't have steak and then go to McDonald's. No.
No.
What, are you just going to like get finger banged every night? No.
That's no. Unless it's by me. Shake finally says, yeah, maybe this was the wrong show for him and he needs to work on his warped views. We'll see. Whatever. Everybody's whatever. And then we get a spiel for the ultimatum.
We get a 12-minute commercial for the ultimatum. I was like, oh, we have so much. No, we don't. We have a commercial for the ultimatum.
It's a long-ass commercial for the ultimatum. It's the first time anybody's learning about it, so everyone on the couch is like, ooh, ah, ee, oh. And that's it. That's the end of the season two reunion.
That is the end of the reunion. I felt like Vanessa fought with more people than anyone else did. She was very, very combative on this reunion.
She really was.
I can't wait for the after the altars. I'm going to after each altar.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to fuck it up.
We have a 17-part after the altar.
Yeah. Everybody join us. We're not going to give up.
It's going to take us half a year.
It's fine.
Great.
We're still doing after the altars. Anyway, this was great. I fucking love this, but you still should shut the fuck up.
Oh, wait, Ellen, I got this.
Oh, yeah, let me send you a text. Hold on.
No, I got
says,
this thing in the mail.
I have this text. I'm going to text it to you. Can you just read it?
No, I got this thing in the mail.
1 second.
Where is it? Where
read it. I just sent you a text. It's important. Can you read it real fast?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Then I'm going to read you this thing I got in the mail.
Okay. Did you get my text?
No, I didn't.
It says red.
No.
So you did.
I don't know.
Yeah, it says red on my end. So that means you've read it.
No.
That means you opened it.
I don't know.
Can you just say those words?
I don't see it. My phone is broken. But I just got this letter and it says, shut the fuck up, Ellen.
Okay. Goodbye, everybody. Till next time.